So in my life as a priest, as a person who's heard lots of confessions and works lots of retreats, has worked a lot of retreats, I've heard this line from people many times. Oh, I'm a Martha. Can you imagine someone coming up to me and saying, I'm a Martha? I've heard it many, 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 many times. And I think I always kind of wonder what is their point when they're telling me that they're a Martha. When you think about Martha, we have Martha and we have Mary, and they're contrasted in the gospel today. And Martha has Jesus in her presence. And what is her response to that? Now, granted, she's serving in that, but what is her dialogue with Jesus about? What's she doing when she's talking to Jesus? She's doing what? She's complaining. She says, on the one hand, she's serving, and on the other hand, she's complaining. And then we have Mary. And what is Mary doing? Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him. Now, this contrast, and I will say that our lives should have a little Martha and a little Mary. We have to have this, we have to have a complementary reality. We have in the church the contemplative life. And what does it mean to contemplate, to be in the temple, in the presence of Almighty God? That's what contemplate means. And we must be contemplative. We must have that as a component of our lives, male and female. And so this idea that we sit at the feet of Jesus, and, you know, for far too many people in the world, they're not Martha, they're not serving Jesus, they're not working, they're sitting not at the feet of Jesus, they're sitting at the feet of the television, or they're sitting at the feet of their tablet, or they're sitting at the feet of their phone, or they're sitting at the feet of a slot machine. They're distracting themselves somehow, not by service. But then we have Martha, who is serving Christ. But there's a better component of life that must be part of her reality, must be part of my reality and your reality. If you're too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen, then you're too busy. If you are too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen, then you're too busy. I don't care what you're doing. So our Lord gives us this story, or St. Luke tells us this story about our Lord's encounter with Martha and Mary. And I'm reminded my own spiritual journey. I remember the first time in a kind of formal way that I was asked to sit at the feet of Jesus. And this is the way it worked. They gave me a passage of sacred scripture. They said, read this and go sit in the chapel and be quiet. Those were my instructions. This is 20 years ago. I still remember it like yesterday. And the passage that I was given, was this. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And that passage of sacred scripture, and to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear Jesus speak to me about prayer, about humility, about the cross, about suffering, about silence. And what a privileged moment that was 20 years ago that has stayed with me to sit at the feet of Jesus. That is the invitation. Yes, we must serve. Yes, we must do. But if we serve and do so much that we can't sit at the feet of Jesus, even here this morning, even in this Mass today, very many of you all, and I count myself among you, our minds begin to be distracted by what else do we have to do? Where else am I going to be running around later? But God is calling us to sit at His feet in silence and let Him speak to us about the most important things, to transform and to heal us. So, to imitate Christ. And when I think about Jesus, though he was in the form of God and he did not count equality to be God something to be clung to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human appearance, he humbled himself. And to sit at his feet and listen as he becomes obedient even to death, death on a cross. And so our Lord's prayer and his suffering and his humility and his cross. And this brings me to the second reading today. Did you hear what St. Paul said to you this morning? The letter was written to the people, to the Colossians. But it wasn't written just for them. It was written for them and for you and for me. And what did St. Paul say to you and to me this morning? He said these words. He said, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." For whose sake? Say, for my sake. St. Paul says these words, "I rejoice." So he lives a life of joy. I rejoice. What is the source of his joy that he's speaking about right now? I rejoice in my suffering. What a thought, huh? What a crazy idea. So he says, I rejoice in my suffering for you. For you. How we understand suffering as Catholics, how we understand what is taught by the Church, and how we understand sacred scripture, we'll only know by sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him speak to us. Now, suffering is part of the human experience, and as we embrace it as part of our spiritual journey, it is countercultural. We live in a world that wants to take any idea of suffering and fix it by suicide, by homicide, by any means. But we say that we can rejoice in our sufferings as we are united to Christ, as St. Paul did. You know, when you're baptized, you become a member of the body of Christ. Christ is the head and we are his body. Just the same as my head here is attached to my body. So Christ is the head and we who have been baptized are his body. And Christ suffered for our sins. And I know this may be new to you or it may be a radical idea, but when you were made a member of the body of Christ, you were invited by Christ to participate in his cross for the salvation of the world. That you can offer your sufferings up to Almighty God. That you can even have joy in your sufferings because your sufferings are part of the redemption of the world. That you can give your sufferings to your children, to your friends, to your neighbors. That they can be a part of your prayer life. And so St. Paul is suffering for the gospel. And he says to you and he says to me, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. What an incredible idea that our difficulties can be a source of renewal and rejoicing. Some people abandon God in the face of suffering. Some people are drawn to God in the face of suffering. Some people are happy to believe in God and to believe in Jesus as long as their life is insulated from suffering. And some people turn away from God as soon as that insulation is removed. I heard this quote a few years ago, and it really struck me when I heard it. The night brings out the stars, and suffering shows us to ourselves. The night brings out the stars, and suffering shows us to ourselves. A faith in God that depends on insulation from evil and pain and suffering and service is no faith at all. I remind you, my brothers and sisters, that we worship a crucified Christ, crucified but risen. You know, I have learned a lot of lessons in my life about suffering. Lessons that I'm sure most of you all have learned, lessons from the psych ward, lessons from the emergency room, lessons from the cancer floor, lessons from hospitals and courtrooms and jails, that suffering is a part of life. John Paul II wrote this toward the end of his life, towards the end of his papacy. He was speaking to a group of doctors and nurses, and he said, pain and suffering are part of the human mystery on earth. And it is, of course, right to fight illness because health is a gift from God. But it is also important to be able to discern God's plan when suffering knocks on our door. And the key to this discernment is the cross of Christ. The incarnate Word, Jesus, embraced our weaknesses. He took it upon himself in the mystery of the cross. And now, since the cross, all suffering has the possibility of meaning. You know, you could leave this church today. You could walk out and say, I don't want to be Catholic. I don't want to be part of a church that talks about suffering and embracing suffering. Well, let me tell you, you could leave the church today and you wouldn't have any less suffering in your life. But if we embrace the cross in our Christian faith, if we see that suffering is a part of our life that has rich meaning, deep meaning, incredible significance. It is by which we are united to Christ. It can become even part of our prayer life. Like St. Paul says, he rejoices in his suffering for the sake of others. Again, this is crazy talk to so much of the world, but it is a fundamental part of the Christian message. Why do we suffer? I can't completely answer that, but the source of our suffering is sin. We suffer from the sins of others. We suffer from our own sins. We suffer because we live in a fallen world. God does not positively will our suffering, but he allows it. He allows it, but he can bring good from it. And my brothers and sisters, that is exactly what St. Paul is telling us. Now, in this homily, it's not an appeal for you to go through life looking for suffering. Plenty of suffering will come your way, regardless, okay? It is our responsibility to strive to alleviate suffering, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to visit the imprisoned, to lift those who are in misery out of their misery. But the reality is the poor will always be with us, and suffering is a part of our journey through this life. So what do we do with it? We embrace it. And we offer it up to Almighty God as a prayer for others, for our parishioners, for our students, for our neighbors, for our children, and for our grandchildren. You have all heard this expression, pick up your cross and follow me. This is important. There is one Savior. He alone redeems us, but he wills that we are united to him as the head is united to the body, and that our sufferings can be offered up with his on the cross. So our challenge is not to curse and to complain in the face of suffering. Our challenge is not to curse and complain in the face of serving and working and experience the anxiety and difficulties of being hospitable. No, our challenge is to offer our loneliness, our trials, our persecution, our heartbreak, all of those things up with God. A few years ago, a French theologian said, "It is in suffering that we are withdrawn from the bright and superficial film of existence, from the sway of time and of mere things, and we find ourselves in the presence of profound truth." So St. Paul says, "I rejoice in my suffering for you." Friedrich Nietzsche, who was an atheist, said, "To live is to suffer. To survive is to find meaning in our suffering." Khalid Gibran said, "Out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls. The most massive characters are seared with the scars." Madame de Stael said, "One must choose in life between boredom and suffering." If you fear suffering, you already suffer in your fear. So, my brothers and sisters, we don't curse and complain in the face of our suffering. We embrace our cross. We offer it up to God for the salvation of the world. We follow Jesus in joy. So I pray this day that you may find joy in the difficulties that you may face in life.